Republican presidential candidate Jeb Bush has been catching some flack after he said last week that Americans need to work longer hours.
My aspiration for the country, and I believe we can achieve it, is 4% growth as far as the eye can see, which means we have to be a lot more productive. Workforce participation has to rise from its all-time modern lows. It means that people need to work longer hours and through their productivity gain more income for their families. That's the only way we're going to get out of this rut that we're in.
The former Florida governor was speaking to the editorial board of the New Hampshire Union Leader newspaper. Democrats pounced on the comments, saying Jeb Bush is out of touch. Bush later clarified the comment, saying he meant that part-time workers looking for full-time jobs should be able to work more. So let's take the politics out of it for a moment and ask the question, would working more hours help this economy? Let's take a closer look at this with Derek Thompson, senior editor of The Atlantic. He's with us from New York, as he is each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, how much are Americans working now, and how does it compare to other countries?
So, first of all, this comment was just such a fascinating Rorschach blot. From one angle, it is completely reasonable to ask that lots of Americans work longer than they are, and from another perspective, completely absurd the way he framed it. So first, as you asked, to the statistics. Americans often say they feel busier than ever, but the statistics actually show that Americans are working less than they were in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. And this is one of the ironies of tying together hours worked and total productivity. It turns out, and this is true for many countries, that as a country gets more productive, its citizens actually work fewer hours per year. And this is because lots of the work is offshored to lower income countries, and you have technologies taking care of certain tasks that took more of their time. So around the developed world, we in fact see hours worked per year declining as those countries get richer.
But as you look around the entire developed world, are we at the top of the list in terms of how many hours we're working in general?
We are. We are sort of the busy bees of the advanced global economy. Over the past 60 years, annual hours worked per worker have fallen by about 10 to 15% in the United States. In the Netherlands and Germany, they've fallen by about 50%. So it turns out that in Europe, which has gotten similarly, has been similarly productive compared to the United States, they have used their productivity to buy a lot more leisure time than Americans who have used our productivity to essentially buy more stuff and not necessarily take the coinciding drop in hours worked.
And you could certainly say, by the way, that taking more leisure time or whether leisure time or whatever you might be doing in the time that you're not working on your job can make you better at your job. I remember going and doing a story about students who meet before school to play around outside to get their blood flowing, to have some fun, play some games, and they end up doing much better in the school day than kids who just go right to their first class at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And let's make this really timely. Let's talk about summer vacation. There's actually lots of studies that show that summer vacation makes people more creative and more productive in creative industries because it essentially gives their brain a break. Yeah. This is essentially the same idea behind sort of the science of sleeping. Why do we have to sleep? Well, it turns out we collect a lot of gunk in our head as we do nothing but work like mice on a hamster or a hamster's on a hamster wheel all day long. And by sleeping, we sort of allow things to coalesce and organize. The same thing can happen when we take both small breaks during the day and larger breaks from our overall work schedule.
Okay, so what about the point that Jeb Bush made on clarification, that what he's talking about is that there are too many Americans who are working part-time that really should be working full-time and that want to work full-time?
Right, and this is where I think Jeb Bush's comment was an obvious point made terribly. The obvious point here is that America still has an elevated number of part-time workers who want to work full-time. It has fallen very slowly since the worst of the recession, even as overall unemployment, the official statistic, is rather low, in the low 5%. We should want people who are working part-time and want to work more to work more. That's a completely legitimate thing. At the same time, the way that he framed it made it sound like like he's asking a bunch of Americans who are already working to their full capacity while balancing not only leisure but also raising a family and taking care of the house, asking them to work longer in jobs they might not like just so that he can hit this made-up 4% GDP annual growth target that he sort of laid out there. So again, should we want people who are working part-time to work full-time if they want to? Yes, of course. But we don't want to overwork people. That's not only bad from a moral perspective, it also turns out to be counterintuitively worse for overall productivity.
We're speaking with Derek Thompson of The Atlantic about Jeb Bush's comments that Americans should be working more. You can weigh in on this. Send us a tweet at Jeremy Hobson. You can send it to Derek at DKTHOMP. And Derek, I was reading in The Atlantic, your publication, David Frum, the conservative thinker, economist, or whatever you want to call him, saying that higher GDP doesn't necessarily mean better pay for Americans, that if you do give workers more, if they work longer hours, they make more money, a lot of the extra benefit that they get ends up getting sucked up into healthcare costs.
These are two really interesting points. Let me sort of break them out really quickly. First, there's the argument that growing productivity does not necessarily give you growing median wages. And in fact, this is a graph that's been passed around the economic sphere for a long time that shows productivity since the 1970s basically shooting up on a 45-degree angle while median wages basically stay flat right on a table. So it's true that an entire country can get richer, but the distribution of that wealth doesn't necessarily have to be even at the same time. The second thing that he's talking about is the difference between compensation and wages. Compensation is everything that you make, including benefits and health care. Wages is just what you take home. And it is true that over the last few decades, we've seen health care costs grow so much faster than median wages, than inflation-adjusted median wages, that you've seen a lot of total compensation be sucked up by health care. But to the latter point, this is just really not what Jeb Bush was talking about at all. He was not talking about curbing healthcare costs. He was talking about getting people to work more. And on the one hand, I think we should just tease this out and say, yes, some people who want to work more should work more. It would be better for their families, for their mental health, for the economy in general. But asking people who are already fully employed, working, 50-hour weeks in menial jobs that they hate, it is irresponsible and just insensitive to say that the future of economic growth rests on their working past their means of health.
Derek, and before we go on, I should say I said economist. David Frum, even though he does write a lot about economic issues, he is not an economist. He's a speechwriter. Is what I meant to say. But is this anything that politicians can do anything about, really, getting people to work longer hours or work more?
No, I'm so glad you asked that question to close, because I feel like during the presidential campaign, presidents make all of these promises about things that they can't control. I'll solve the Middle East. I'll solve Russia. I'll name 4% U.S. GDP growth per year, and we'll just hit it. Most things in the world, I think, would be better thought of not as like a flag that you can easily raise and then lower, but rather like the weather. The weather we all understand to be chaotic. And the question is not, will we elect a president who can make it rain or reduce humidity over Boston this year? But rather we think, what can we do to respond to weather that we can't control? And that, I think, is the much more reasonable way to talk about economic growth. The president controls only a small, small amount of the economy and of total economic growth. It's better to talk not about what number are we going to hit in terms of GDP growth, but rather what can we control? We can control taxing and spending. We can control how much of the total wealth is taken from the rich and given to the poor, whether we're taxing too much and spending too much. These are the questions we should debate, not just making up single-digit numbers and saying we're going to hit this for economic growth.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, talking with us about a very interesting idea that Jeb Bush brought up last week. It's these interesting little offshoot ideas that make covering the political season more. We already got to talk about the metric system, Derek, thanks to Lincoln Chafee, and whether we're going to go back to that. Now, whether Americans should work longer hours, you can weigh in again on Twitter or at hereandnow.org. Derek, thanks so much, as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.